Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I want to take this opportunity to welcome you to our segment this evening as we get ready for the season of Easter. Now, I hope you appreciate our little jingle from Mr. Kevin MacLeod, because it really puts me in an island mood. A nice little classic reggae, and I hope you've settled in your favorite chair that you would be if you were home on the island, whether you were on vacation or you grew up there. But now we just take a virtual trip, because some of us don't travel much anymore, but we can do so in our minds. So settle in while we reminisce. We're here each week, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So I want to welcome all my fans who are listening online, those who may come by later in the week and check out this segment. Today, we are talking about something that was fairly new to me. We're celebrating Easter, and I'm hoping that some of my callers on the board we'll have some Easter stories of what they did back in the day when it was Easter time in Jamaica, no matter what part of the island you were from. If you were most, you know, it's a very religious for the visitors. There are all different types of religions in Jamaica, everyone you can think of. So, and there, of course, there are people who do not celebrate that particular holiday also religiously. But I can tell you, because we have a four-day holiday, whether you are Gentile or Jew, everybody gets the holiday and everybody celebrates. But for the Christians, mostly, the Sunday celebration is a big deal. So today, we're going to be talking a little about something that's particularly new to me, because I think we did some segments on religion before, but I don't remember some of the information that I stumbled on that I'm going to share with you later on. Now, as usual, I want to remind you that because this is a labrish, you feel free to put your hand up by hitting 1 on your telephone. That will indicate to me that you want to join the labrish. So we're open for sidebars and comments and stories, because the whole objective of getting together once a week, as we do, is to leave some stories from especially the seniors, The juniors are welcome too, but I think that my objective is to leave some stories about the way I grew up and the people in my age group grew up, because there's not a lot of documentation on that on the internet. And what I do most times is put a voice to the information that has been recorded and documented by the historians. So today I will be giving you some information from the Encyclopedia of Jamaican Heritage by Olive Senior. So as most of you know that we are, you know, next week, Sunday, I think will be Easter Sunday, or is it the next week after that? Anyway, we're going to be talking a little about the Easter celebration on that we used to do in Jamaica on a Easter Sunday. But I want to start off with talking a little bit about three different religious organizations that are very big in Jamaica. And the first thing I want to read to you is about the Roman Catholic. This is from Olive Senior's book. This was the first Christian denomination to be established in Jamaica. On May 6th, 1494, Columbus took possession of the island for the Catholic Spanish monarchs and renamed it Santiago in honor of the Spanish Saint James of Compostela, though it reverted to its Taino name, Jamaica. The historian Father Francis Osborne has suggested that the honor of the second mass celebrated in the New World probably belonged to Jamaica. Columbus had a chaplain with him on the voyage who more than likely would have celebrated mass sometime between the 6th and 9th of May. Mass was said for the first time in Hispaniola on the 6th of January, 1494. So this is a sidebar now. So actually, there's so many times when we read and discover that Jamaica was a place for a lot of firsts. So here we are discovering tonight that the first high mass, I suppose is what you would call it, in the New World was celebrated in Jamaica. I said, wow. Now, the Spanish settlers who began to arrive in 1509 brought their religion with them, and the first Roman Catholic Church was built in Sevilla. The site of the present Catholic Church, followed by two churches in what is now Spanish Town. After Jamaica became a British possession, the Church of England became the established church, and Roman Catholicism was not allowed. There is evidence that there were secret Catholic worshippers, especially in a chapel in Port Royal, established at his house by James Casillo, the agent for the contract by which Britain supplied Spanish settlers in the New World with slaves. So, sidebar now, imagine that when the island changed hands, the Catholics had to go in hiding and secretly worship. Interesting. So they established the churches first, but once the British took it over, then they were not allowed to worship openly. Okay, back to the book. For a brief time when there was a Catholic monarch on the English thrones, and he was James II, Catholics were able to worship openly, but the religion did not gain official sanction again until 1791, when the English Parliament removed some disabilities on Catholics. In Jamaica, Their number were from that year augmented by French refugees fleeing the slave revolt in nearby Haiti, along with their priest. And for a long time, the church remained French-speaking. The first names recorded in the funeral register of the New Catholic Chapel in Kingston were of a Pierre Sicard, a French planter from Hispaniola, and Francisco, a name I can't pronounce, who was a slave, and they were buried side by side the 20th of August, 1795. Wow. The Haitians were mostly planters, and as a result, many Catholic churches were established in rural areas. After emancipation, the church received a boost with the arrival of white settlers who were Catholics in their homelands, including Germans, Irish, and Portuguese. The church was also active in the conversion of Chinese immigrants. Like other religious groups in Jamaica, the Catholic Church has played a major role in development of education and social welfare institutions in the island and remains a leading religion with 93,401 listed as Catholics in the census of 1991. Excuse me. And that's the end of that article from the Encyclopedia of Jamaican Heritage on the Catholics. But I don't know if anybody else on the board, but a lot of that was news to me. I must confess to my listeners that I was not a big fan of history when I was in school. It just wasn't interesting to me at all. Of course, we didn't get a lot of this juicy stuff that we get now, finding out that Jamaica was the first for so many things. And when I talk about, I'm always talking about the diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And here you can see how far back it goes, that there were even most of the churches were French speaking. I didn't even know that. So the masses were in French. And, you know, even things changed, but things remain the same. There are still some countries of the world where people of certain religious beliefs have to go in hiding because they're in the minority or, you know, whatever they believe in is not allowed. So although a lot have changed as humans, a lot of things really remain the same. So what I'd like to do now is to find out if there are any Catholics listening online that want to chime in on this and tell me, because, you know, I must confess to you, I married a Catholic in 57, and I had to become a Catholic. In those days, you could not marry outside the church, so I became a Catholic by studying the catechism and going through whatever I had to go through. But I am not worshiping as a Catholic now. And I didn't do any history of the Catholic Church in Jamaica. So when I did the research and found this out, I was quite impressed. So I'm always thrilled at learning something new. I see a hand up. 631-451, and I'm going to open up the mic. Good evening. You got Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have?
Hi. Good evening, Margaret. This is Janine from Long Island.
Hi. Loyal fan from Long Island, Janine. How are you today?
Fine, thanks. And you?
I am wonderful. You know, I'm always like a giggly little girl when I discover something new.
Yes, yes.
But did you know all of that?
Not all of it, no. Not all.
Oh, wow. I was quite intrigued.
Yes.
You know that the Catholics had to go in hiding.
Yeah, I didn't know that, to be
honest.
Yes,
when the English took over.
Oh, yeah.
And that actually the first mass in the New World was held in Jamaica. I mean, I seem to be stumbling on first things for Jamaica. I always say, you know, if as a people, we never really knew how very important our culture was. We didn't appreciate, really.
That's true.
Because we didn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm really hoping that the younger generation, the next generation, will be exposed to some of this so that they can really, really take pride. Because to me, there's so much for us to be grateful and proud of.
Yeah, that's true.
Tell me a little bit about your, what religion did you grow up in?
I grew up in the Catholic religion.
Ah.
Yes, and during my time in growing up and going to the Catholic Church, the Mass was done in Latin. Because I used to be on the choir, my other sister and myself and my brother, and we all had to learn the Mass in Latin because that's the way it was at that time.
Right. Now, did you really know what all the Latin words mean?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yes, we did.
So what went on especially at Easter time?
Well, Palm Sunday, which is this Sunday, we would line up from the church and we would walk around the street around where the church area is with a palm and would come back and meet again in the church. Holy Thursday is the washing of the feet.
Oh, they actually do that?
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was the Pentecostal churches that did that.
The Catholic does that, too.
Ah. Do you know if they're still doing it?
Yes, they do.
So everybody get their feet washed or just special people?
If you want to and you go up, they have to wash it.
Oh, so you go up to the altar to have it washed.
To the front, yes. But I think they kind of narrate down to just a few people because, you know, during that time, a lot of people attend church. So it would be like an all-night thing if everybody was to go up. So I think they just take, like, a few people as far back as I can remember.
Right.
For now,
what is the purpose of the washing of the feet?
Well, don't forget, at the Last Supper, Jesus washed all the disciples' feet.
Oh, I got you.
Before crucifixion. And crucifixion is Good Friday.
Right. So you wash the feet on when?
On Holy Thursday.
Holy Thursday, okay.
Right.
All right, got you.
And then Good Friday is when we have to fast from 12 to 3 without eating. And you go to church from 12 to 3, you don't eat anything, and it's a long service. And then after...
As a diabetic, I'd have to have my bun and cheese.
Well, you can have something in
I
the
I don't
morning.
Mean to be disrespectful to the Catholics, but, you know, this is a relaxed show.
Well,
but we're in the backyard, so I have all sorts of little sidebars, and everybody else is welcome to do. I always tell everybody, this is not CNN or NBC or whatever.
Yes.
We're just in the backyard, and each week we select a topic that we talk about in a very casual and relaxed way.
Yes.
And hopefully we learn something that we can celebrate and preserve.
Right. Well, you can eat before 12. You can have something to eat in the morning. But at 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, you have to fast. In church, you're at church anyway, so you can't eat in the church.
Oh, is this when they do Stations of the Cross
and all that? Yeah.
On Good Friday.
Good Friday, I'm drawing blank. No, I don't think.
Cross
Friday,
but I don't remember when it's done.
No, not Good Friday. No.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wanted to ask if anybody else is on the board that have this information, because remember, we're enlightening.
Right.
So since both of us are having like a blank moment, I have
right.
them quite regularly.
Yeah.
If you could fill us in, feel free to do so.
Yeah, that's
okay,
a good question. I know they had Station of the Cross.
Oh, I see a hand up. So I'm going to open up the mic. Hold 1 minute to 914-665. hold in a minute. Your mic will be open. Good evening. You got Margaret and Janine in the backyard. Who do I have?
Good evening, Margaret. This is Carl from Mount
Vernon. Hi, Mr. Carl. Where are you calling from?
Mount Vernon.
Oh, Mount Vernon,
Mount
New
Vernon.
York. Okay.
Yes.
Welcome to the backyard.
Regarding the ordinance, the communion, there are some churches that it's part of the communion ceremony where they drink the wine, which represents the blood of Christ, and the wafer or bread, type of bread, unleavened bread that represents his body. And
right.
Then what they used to do is they separate, they do today, now, they separate the ladies from the gentlemen and they go into different rooms where they do the washing of the feet.
Oh, did the Catholics do that? Is it the
Not the Catholics. I know, for example, in the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Oh, they do the separation.
Yes. Yes, they do separate them. And then they return. Of course, they are reminded that although you seem you're in a relaxed situation because there is no church music or an informal activity going on, is a tendency to start gossiping. So what the pastor always had to remind them is that it's still a church service and they must remain quiet.
Quiet. Yeah.
If it's a convenient subject, it should be something regarding the Bible to discuss.
I got you.
And then they return to the main hall or room where they resume and the regular service where the minister has a sermon.
Right.
There's one little bit of a little gem of information that I gathered from the world. What's that book again? The point is that Jamaica has more churches per capita than anywhere else in the world.
Right. We did that show on that first time things.
And then the irony is that it's the only country where there's so much gun crimes that they formed this gun court. That is the other side of things.
Right.
Of course, I don't know. Is the gun court still going on?
I don't know. I really don't know. Because I usually just go by the historic documents that I find online or in this encyclopedia of Jamaican thing. And I don't think that they have that. I don't know, really. So I usually have to ask listeners on the board for current things regarding the new Jamaica. Because most of my research is on the old Jamaica.
I also observed as a youngster that the Catholic, most of the commercial enterprises were run by people who were Catholics.
They were the first ones there from this religion.
Yes, well, all of the
That's
big enterprises.
What I'm finding out. But were you aware of that?
Yes, and when you name some of the names, the Enriquez, the Issas and, other names like that, they were all attached to the Catholic Church. But one thing I must say about the church, they took care of their members in that if you really needed a job, you could always go to Father and he could connect you with the right company or person. And some of them are so dedicated to helping the underprivileged that they would even create a spot in the organization because you're a Catholic. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I admired about the Catholic Church.
Wonderful. Now, is that your religion, your chosen religion?
No. I used to be a Methodist.
Oh, okay. I'm going to read about the Methodist now.
Good.
So thank you for that input.
My pleasure.
So tonight we talked about the Catholics. Now I'm going to read about the Methodists. Then we're going to do the Anglicans.
Very good.
Perhaps I should do the Anglicans first because I think they came before the Methodists. So I'm back to the Encyclopedia of Jamaican Heritage for those who might be interested. It's a wonderful book, especially, for Jamaicans or Jabrits or, you know, the second generation of Jamaican families. I'm just plugging it. It's not a commercial, but I can tell you I've really enjoyed it. So let's talk about the Anglicans now. The Church of England was the state church from the time the Protestant English took Jamaica from the Catholic Spanish in 1655 until the church was disestablished in 1872. Originally called the Church of England, the term Anglican began to be used from the 19th century. During the 1960s, the Church of England in Jamaica was renamed the Anglican Church of Jamaica in the province of the West Indies. Mm-hmm. Jamaica was divided by the English colonists into parishes, and each was slated to have a parish church. Nevertheless, the colonists were found to be either indifferent or hostile to the authority of the church, or they were lax in the practice of their religion. Few attended church, as Lady Nugent's journal and other records attest. The scarcity of clergymen, which led to the appointment of those poorly qualified, was a contributing factor. The historian Edward Long, declaring of the Jamaican clergy that some were much better qualified to be retailers of saltfish.
Saltfish.
Or both swine to privateers than ministers of the gospel. Dominated as it was by the sugar planters and English government officials, the church was described as an ornamental adjunct to the state and made little effort to minister to the majority of the population, which consisted of slaves and free blacks and colored people.
Right.
The Church of England supremacy was challenged from the late 18th century by the arrival of nonconformists like the Baptists, the Moravians, and the Methodist missionaries.
Right.
And it was naturally hostile to these efforts. Such hostility reached a climax following the slave revolt in 1831, when renegade Anglican clergymen and churchmen formed the Colonist Church Union to destroy nonconformist chapels and drive the missionaries from the island as part of a campaign to prevent emancipation. Am I still broadcasting?
Yes, you are.
Okay,
yes,
because
yes.
My phone is cracking, that's why I asked. Nevertheless, there were always individual Anglican clergymen and benevolent planters who took an interest in the welfare of the slaves. The Jamaican church was under the jurisdiction of the Bishop of London, which meant that the only clergymen in the island were priests, and there were no local structure or control. The appointment of its own bishop in 1825 allowed the local church for the first time to undertake proper administration of its affairs. In later years, the church was revitalized under the leadership of Archbishop Enos Nuttall, N-U-T-T-A-L-L, and attracted new membership from all ranks of society, becoming involved in the establishment of educational institutions and social welfare activities. It remains a leading significant denomination in Jamaica. In the population census of 1991, 127,331 persons listed themselves as Anglicans.
Mm-hmm.
And that completes the article on the Anglican religion.
Well, you know,
but
the Anglican is almost like the Catholic.
Right. But it's interesting to see how, because, but you know, remember now, once England took over, the Catholics were never recognized. So the Church of England was like the boss.
Yeah, because that because the king wanted to remarry, and the Catholic Church would not allow it, and that is why the Catholic Church went down in England. And the Anglican Church, you know, was the known church there.
And
yes.
They're also described as Anglo-Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because
just find this so fascinating because, you know, we talk about the religious battles that have been going on, you know, from time immemorial, where, you know, one religion is hostile against the other religion.
Yeah.
And it's a little surprising when they're all supposed to be, you know, in the service of God.
Right.
True.
But I mean, it goes way back, and it still exists today.
Yes. The only thing with the Anglican Church, they don't recognize, like, the saints,
mm-hmm.
but everything else is just like the Roman Catholic.
Oh, I got you.
That's true.
So now I'd like to ask if there are any Anglicans on the board that would like to share with us anything special that was different from the Catholics that went on at Easter time. I don't know too much. My family was in all different churches. There were Baptists, Methodists, and Anglican. As a matter of fact, we had... I remember my aunt, her husband, and my great aunt all lived in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to Tablamar to visit them on a Sunday, everybody went in a
different direction.
Mm-hmm. for the church. It was really so interesting.
Yeah.
And I would just tag along with, it was a eeny, meeny, miny. And I tag along with whoever.
Yes, well, I remember growing up as a child. My grand-aunt, my grandmother's sister, she lived with us. She was Seventh-day Adventist. My grandmother was Baptist. We were Catholic. And I remember as a child, I would be sitting on the step outside by the back veranda, and maybe eating a mango or something. And you hear my grand-aunt singing a hymn from the Seventh-day Adventist. My grandmother cooking in the kitchen, she's singing her hymn from the church. My mother sewing, she's singing. Sometimes I'm confused. I'm trying to get into all three
<That's>
songs. And I'm still eating my mango. But I'm tuning in a little of all the hymns, you know.
I may interrupt, my observation, I'm not an historian, but most of the church music was composed... By the Church of England, and even some of the well-known hymns that are sung in almost every other denomination when you investigate, you'll find that most of them were composed by Anglicans who were masters of the art, and also especially organ music.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, yes,
and they're all so beautiful, all the churches. When you listen to their hymns,
mm-hmm.
I believe you me. It was different, but when I tell you, very touching. You know, very, very touching. I'm glad I had that experience because we went with our grand-aunt once to church to the 70, and they had baptism that day. I'll never
mm-hmm.
forget it. I was a small child. I could have been maybe about 11. And this woman was supposed to be baptized that day. My grand-aunt was actually going to be baptized that day.
And this is what religion, the Anglican?
No, Seventh-day Adventist.
Oh, Seventh-day Adventist, I see.
And this woman went in for the minister to baptize her with a wig on her head. When the minister dip her, all he sees that thing floating on the top. Back on her head. I never forget that thing.
Oh, my gosh. The water and all. But let me ask you this. Do the Anglicans and the Catholics don't have the dip in the water baptism, do
no.
they?
No.
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 They have the sprinkle on the head, I suppose.
Yes.
But if you get into the definition of baptism, baptism is immersion.
Yes, it is.
Right. Like Paul did for John the Baptist.
It is.
Yeah.
So let me tell you, the listeners now, about the Methodists as per the Encyclopedia of Jamaican Heritage. But first, let me remind the listeners on listening online, if you want to interact with us in the backyard, you'd have to dial 718-766-4558 because I'm not able to chat or interact with you because I haven't gotten that techie part down yet. So, we're going to talk about the Methodists now. And remember, I stated the amount of people that were registered on the 1991 census. But it seems like the Methodists have the least amount because they only have 62,208 in the census of 1991. The evangelical movement that became Methodism was founded by Charles Wesley in 1703 to 1791 within the Anglican Church to fortify and supplement the work of that church. Wesley and his associates were dubbed Methodists from the methodical way in which they observed their principles, eventually became known as Wesleyan Methodists. The Methodists established missionary societies in the American colonies and became noted for their spirited fervor and vigorous preaching. In 1784, there was a break with the Anglican Church, and the Methodist community became a separate entity, though it was not established as the Methodist Church until after Wesley's death. Dr. Thomas Coke, superintendent of the American Methodists, came to Jamaica in 1789, established the first church, Coke Church,
yes,
and organized for the first missionaries to come. He provoked an angry reaction from some sections of the white population when he preached on the text, "Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God." Like the other missionaries, the Wesleyan Methodists preached in their missions, their mission to minister to the non-white population despite numerous obstacles. In 1967, the Methodists of the Caribbean and Latin America formed their own organization and ceased to be a unit of the Methodist Missionary Society. Like other churches in Jamaica, the Methodists have contributed greatly to the development of education as well as to the spread of Protestantism.
Protestants.
To nearby territories in Latin America. And that is the end of that article. So there's a picture here of Dr. Thomas Coke. But I wanted to tell you that on the, I think it was the Anglican page, there is, or is it the Catholic page, there is a picture of a black archbishop.
Mm-hmm. Catholic.
That is, I forgot his name and I lost the page. And it mentioned, there was not really a story about him, but it mentioned that he was a late, I suppose, on the type of this publication. He had passed away. But, you know,
is it
no. There's a picture of him there. Are you familiar with him?
I know there was a Monsignor Vidal. I don't know if he got the archbishop. I don't remember. If I heard the name, maybe it would ring a bell.
And there's also a big, one of the biggest church in downtown Kingston on East Parade.
Mm-hmm.
Was called the Coke Church. I guess it's in
memory. The one we mentioned here. It was established by the person who came, there.
Yeah.
To Jamaica. So it's been there a long
time.
Yes.
Coke Church was there a long time.
Yes. So I wondered if there's anyone on the board that has been a member or grew up in that church, if they would join us and tell us a little bit about perhaps what went on at Easter time. So now what I'm going to do, first of all, I think there is someone on the board who would like to make an announcement, because there's going to be a function here in Atlanta that is a multicultural organization that is trying, I think it's called Fusion, and they're trying to, get people of different cultures together to combine to do certain things, to try, we all in our own special way are trying to leave our mark on the world. We are here for a purpose. And I think this organization, from what I understand, is trying to get people to sort of communicate and combine to get a more peaceful approach to
both
and religion. And if that guest is online, would they put their hand up? She told me she was going to call in tonight to talk a little bit about the purpose of the fusion. But I don't see a hand going up. So if she comes by later, I'm hoping that she will hit one on her telephone to let me know that she would like to talk about her organization. But they're having an event here in Atlanta this weekend, and it's multicultural. I always talk about the diversity that we grew up with.
Right.
It was so obvious that there were many different people from many different cultures, but the beautiful thing is that we all were Jamaicans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't know I was a different anything until I arrived in this country.
That's true.
I just
true.
I was a Jamaican. So I see 954-762. Do you want to raise your hands? Because I thought I saw a hand go up. And if you do want to interact with us, you hit one on your telephone. Or was that somebody hanging up? I don't know. Sometimes my sight, I want to remind our listeners that I just celebrated my 77th birthday, and I am really struggling with keeping all the parts together. So sometimes my eyes are not all that good, but I see 678-467 with a hand up, and I'm going to open up the mic. Hold on while I jiggle with my thing here. Your mic is open. Welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret.
Thank you, Margaret. It's Marcia calling from Atlanta.
Oh, hey, Miss Marcia. How are you?
I am very wonderful, thank you. How are you?
Very well. I'm always awesome when I'm talking about my favorite place in the world.
Yes. I think a number of us have a great passion for this country called Jamaica.
That's right. And, my second name is the Passionate Senior.
Honestly, it's so like the parts are falling apart to me.
Right?
Yes, I wanted to, I've spoken with you earlier today, and I wanted to just invite everybody in Atlanta or who can make it to Atlanta to celebrate Global Fusion actually will be celebrating Jamaica's 50th by paying tribute to Louise Bennett, you know, OMOJMBE. She was a great stalwart for Jamaica. This program is going to be held at Oglethorpe University, the Lupton Auditorium, starting at 2 o'clock this Saturday. And, this is a such event. There will be cultural performances from the Caribbean, from the USA and Indonesia. And Global Fusion, I think, is one of the, it's an endorsed event of the Queen's 60th Diamond Jubilee list of events.
Wow.
Not only that, it is an endorsed event of the Atlanta, Jamaica 50th Jubilee Planning Committee as well.
Great. Can you tell us about the objectives of the Global Fusion?
Yes, Global Fusion was formed to bring together worldwide cultures. You know, we educate, just as what you're doing in your program. It was formed to educate and inform, you know, different cultures, bringing different cultures together. So this is being done through creating events of international significance for economic development. You know, when we can talk about economic development and share ideas, we can then produce investment opportunities for each other. We can create jobs. We can enhance the intellectual discussion, the enlightenment that you are doing as well. And once we have a cultural understanding, there is less need for us to fight and more need for us to, and more opportunity for us to get together and move forward together, you know.
Amen.
So the vision really is global peace through cultural understanding and economic development.
Oh, great. That sounds like a very worthy cause, right?
Yes. There are speakers from India and Chinese investment groups, you know, the British Consul General, the Indonesian Consul General. I also think the Hispanics will also be speaking. The Atlanta Honorary Consul General, Vin Martin, from Jamaica, and the Honorary Consul also from Botswana. So it's supposed to be a really good program this Saturday.
Great. Well, yes. I hope that the Atlantans will come on out and support it.
Yes,
and I am.
Too.
I thank you for interacting with us and informing us about this event. You know, we are always here to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve all the positive aspects of anywhere, of course, but especially Jamaica. Because one of the reasons why I started this program is because, you know, when I started it in 2008, I think, I can't remember now, but I happened to have been away in Europe, in Madrid, actually, and went online and found that there was not a lot of information about the old Jamaica.
Right.
You know, and you couldn't find much. There was the younger generation is making real good use of the wonderful technology that is now available. But, you know, when we were growing up, at least my generation, we didn't have that. And as teenagers, you know, we weren't glued to the Daily Gleaner. It was RJRZQI.
And Read the Future.
We're just be listening. And there was a limited amount of hours, you know, to hear anything. So we did not have the opportunity to even of expression, because only things of importance, like prior to the internet, would be in the Gleaner, because the Gleaner was just a certain size. It couldn't go on forever. So even events that were going on or people of significance, unless it was something that was newsworthy,
It would not be printed in the newspaper. So right. Now, thanks to some of the historians, like Dr. Joy Lumsden and Dr. Rebecca Tortello and Miss Olive Senior, who have researched and documented some of this information, we have it now on the... I don't know if this encyclopedia is really on the internet, but I know Pieces of the Past, which has been made into a book, and it's actually the thesis of Dr. Rebecca Tortello, is online. But, you know, like everything else, just as we did not have the time during the rearing of our children, you know, raising our children and taking care of our own personal career to research and read everything, even though there's so much technology, what is happening? You don't have time to read anymore.
No.
So I am thinking in my head that by giving some voice to some of this history, at least people can multitask and they can listen while they do their email or you know, something else. So I want to let the listeners know that all of the shows that I have done over the years, that we have done, because, you know, this is a library, so a lot of people have contributed, it's all recorded and in the archives. So I invite you to just go in the search bar of the, if you go on the Blog Talk radio station, you can always just, you know, dial up Blog Talk Radio, and they have a search bar that you can put in Backyard Labrish, and you will see, you will get to the Backyard Labrish segment of where all of the shows are archived from the very first one. So you can select anything that you might feel you might want to listen to while you multitask. And may I ask you to just, if you have a friend on your list that you think that information might be of some interest to, just copy and paste the URL and send it in to them in their email and invite them to listen to some of our archived segments. What would really make my heart sing is to really get to the 50,000 downloads in celebration of our 50th anniversary. So I'm really going to be asking you to help make my dream come true by not only listening to some of the old segments, but sending it around to some of your friends. Of course, they can always join my email list, and I promise I only send out promos on the upcoming shows. I do not use that their names for any other information or anything else. So if they would go to backyardlabrish.com and just send me a little note that they would like to be added to my email list to get the information on what we're going to be discussing from week to week, then I would really, really appreciate that. So it's almost, let me see what time it is. We have a couple of minutes left. So I want to invite the open mics on the board, and I have everybody's open, 631-451-914-665 and 678-467. All your mics are open, so you'll feel free to make a comment. We have a couple more minutes, and I want to just let everybody know how much I appreciate your participation and your, you know, encouragement. It's really quite heartwarming to me.
Well,
and I am just discovering so many new things. I think I was a slouch in my growing up when it came to history.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like a kid
well,
in
I was
a
in the,
candy
I was in
store.
The same class, but what I admire, and I'm glad that we have access to your archives, that we can go back to some of the subjects that's of interest to each individual, and I believe that it's a very worthwhile program.
Right.
And to be able to look back into Jamaica and the roots of where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things that we enjoy today began where you are going with all this history. I'm like you, I was never good at history. What I hated about history was to remember those dates.
Yes.
and
they didn't seem very relevant to my career.
That's right. And I felt the same way about geography. I said, why should I care about what's happening in China? And so on. But as I grew older, as a matter of fact, I think I'll be a better student today, because with the internet and the widespread availability of instant information from anywhere in the world, it makes it so much more interesting to know what is happening everywhere. Also, when I discovered the email, this may be about 5 years ago, and I realized that I had nephews and nieces as far as England and Australia, and I was getting all these email addresses and sending email and discovering all these people, and we developed a communication club, so to speak, and started to send all these emails. And now you're talking about the printed news and magazines, and they now have these readers that like the iPad.
Right.
The iPad,
yeah.
And the Kindle and so on.
Right.
Where you can download any kind of material, whether it be books,
right,
magazines, or any stories. But I really like the idea of the archives on your program, Margaret, and I think that you will soon, little by little, get a large following. I can assure you that I will be informing my circle of influence to tune in and to get on your website and to really get into it, because there's so much to learn about our origins, you know.
That's so true. Well, I can tell you, I am just learning so much. And, you know, especially when you get into your senior years, it's always good to be learning something.
Oh,
and
yes,
it's more fun to be learning something that you love.
Of course.
And because of my love for my culture and my country, it's really, really fun.
Oh, yeah.
We have a really rich culture. You know, I don't think we celebrate it as much as we should. We have a really rich culture.
Yes.
And so many, you know, which is why your show is so apropos. We have there's just so much to learn about it. So much to learn about why we are as a people, how we are, and why we are as we are now.
Right.
And as we go forward, you know, we can only go forward when we study our history.
Right.
Understand
and I am hoping, it's my hope, that the younger generation will get more interested, unlike how I was when I, perhaps their age, that because it will be easier now because it's so accessible, what I mean?
Yeah.
That they will take some time to participate and to learn so they can get to feel more pride in who they are.
Yes. Yes.
I think it's really important.
Yes. Yes.
That's true.
Yes. Yes.
So with that said, I want to ask everyone to remember that every week I try to make the show interesting, but I'm always open to suggestions. So if there is something that you would like for me to research or to discuss, just send me a little email and let me know, and I'll be more than happy to do it. And your contribution is always very well appreciated.
Yes, and Margaret, I want to say to you, to all Jamaicans who are celebrating Easter, Happy Bun and Cheese Week.
And fried fish. Don't forget the fried fish.
The fried fish, yes.
But watch those calories, you know.
Don't have much calories, so you don't have to watch anything. The bun, perhaps.
Not only that, we should have been fasting for Lent.
Yes. Wow. Without eating meat. Well, the Catholics.
That's right.
And you don't eat meat on Fridays.
But I remember
right.
there was a story about this Catholic, and as you just said, he's not supposed to eat fish on Fridays.
No, meat.
Good Friday, right?
Yes,
he must eat
fish.
Meat. I mean, yeah, he must eat meat.
Yeah.
So they caught him coming from the beef, the butcher, you know, the butcher shop, the beef shop.
Yeah.
With all this beef, taking it home. And they said, man, I thought you were a Catholic. He said, well, all I do when I get home, I just christen it and call it fish.
Technically, you know, someplace in the Bible, it says, rise, keep. Peter, kill and eat.
Right.
But that a dream was. So to be once you bless it.
Yeah. But on Sunday, Easter Sunday, now we can go back to our meat and for dinner, and that was good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to just mention to the younger generation, I don't know if it's still being done in Jamaica now, but I remember Easter in my younger days and my teenage days was the day you really get dressed up.
Are you calling
up,
me?
Always dressed up in your Sunday best.
Oh,
new
man.
Clothes,
that's okay.
New hats and bonnets. In the old
yes.
days, the younger
yes.
children would wear
yes.
bonnets.
Yes.
Does anybody
yes.
remember that?
Oh, yes. And
yes.
Easter Sunday for small kids. Even big people, they would wear white. Because
yes,
Friday,
I remember
yes.
that.
Yes. Good Friday,
right.
you wear black. Easter Sunday, you wear white.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's always good to reminisce. I know that it's not as celebrated as big here in the United States. Well, of course, the South has a lot of churches, so I'm sure there'd be a lot of religious activities.
Yes.
But I know, and I don't know if things in Jamaica, when it comes to the holidays, because now a big part of Easter is the carnival.
Yes.
We didn't have when I was growing up.
We didn't
mm-hmm.
have it, yes, that's true.
It was mostly mm-hmm. a religious holiday. But not really, you know, in terms of... I remember we had day parties here.
Easter Monday.
We would call it.
Yes,
yeah.
Easter Monday would have the day party.
Right. And what do you call them? Like garden parties.
Yeah, garden parties.
Yeah, you had garden
yes,
parties.
At church fair. And
yeah.
we would dance the maypole.
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody remember that?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So those were wonderful days that we looked forward to. So I'm always curious to know what is going on the island at this time. But I did have an opportunity to see some of the carnival stuff. And it's really totally different from anything that I have ever seen. But anyhow, I want to thank everybody for being here. It's always a wonderful gathering when we get together in the backyard, you know, and we can just visualize each other. And I'm just really just quite thrilled to have everybody participate today. And I want to ask you to remember to put it on your calendar to come back next week. So
it's wonderful to be visiting with you. And I think it is a really worthwhile time spent listening to all the things that are shown and heard on this program, and I really
yes.
appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you, Margaret. I just want to just invite everybody out to the Global Fusion event at Oglethorpe, if you don't mind.
I have a
Oglethorpe.
Question.
Yes.
Does it involve any special music, like cultural music?
Yes, all cultural events.
I see.
Yes, we're going to have
yes,
dance.
I know
we're going to have a rendition to celebrate Louise Bennett. It's going to be a, you know, performance-based, you know, performances, speeches, investment opportunities given. It's in the way of sharing, all these cultures.
Wonderful.
Yes, and I forgot to mention, and it's the sixth year that this is being put on. And I forgot to mention that there is a cover charge of, I think it's $20 or $25, one of the, you know.
I see.
Yes, so I want to invite everybody out on Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Very good.
I just want to say happy Easter to everyone.
Happy Easter.
And let's keep it up by on Friday. Let's remember the day, what is important of the day that Christ died for us, Jesus.
Yes.
And let us take some time to praise him and, you know, give worship to that day. And Sunday when he's risen, let us go back and celebrate it. And just have a good Easter. Enjoy your bun and cheese and fry fish. And throw in some bami. And fry plant.
It's also
can
good
we,
time.
Can we
it's
have
also,
a drink?
It's also
yeah,
good
yeah.
time. It's also
okay.
good time. To also count your blessings, too.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
Amen.
Well, but, folks, thanks for the gathering. And as I always say, make it a great week.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Margaret.
Well, same to you,
bye.
Margaret.
Good night.
Night, everyone.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.